Welcome to the Damascus Road Gospel Talk Show. This is the service of the Damascus Road Community Baptist Church in Cockeysville, Maryland. Reverend Tony Lawson is the pastor. This is Joseph Miller. For those who listen to our talk show on the internet and you have questions or comments, our email address is damascusroadcbc@gmail.com. On the last program, I read Jeremiah 30, verses 1 through 15, and I stopped in my comments at verse 11, so we will begin there. Before we do, be sure to keep your phones on mute, except when making a comment or asking a question. Also, please have pen and paper ready to jot down information. Now let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are our teacher, and we look to you to show us things here in Jeremiah we've never seen before. Show us concepts. Show us how we can be better Christians. Convict us of our sin. Convict us of our unrighteousness. Convict us of judgment. Make us better Christians, Lord. Make us more like you, Lord Jesus. So take charge and bless us. We ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. All right, I'm going to read verses 11 through 15, and then I'll comment on it, then I'll get your comments. 11 through 15 of Jeremiah chapter 30. For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you. Though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you, yet I will not make a complete end of you, but I will correct you in justice and will not let you go altogether unpunished. For thus says the Lord, your affliction is incurable, your wound is severe. There is no one to plead your cause that you may be bound up. You have no healing medicines. All your lovers have forgotten you. They do not seek you, for I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of your iniquities, because your sins have increased. Why do you cry out? Why do you cry about your affliction? Your sorrow is incurable because of the multitude of your iniquities, because your sins have increased. I have done these things to you. Verse 11 speaks of a full end of all nations where God has scattered the Jews. Babylon was destroyed, and other nations where they were scattered also came to an end. But the Jews, by God's providence, were allowed to return to their homeland and retain their national identity. When God says in verse 12 that the Jewish nation's affliction is incurable, he is saying that the coming judgment is irreversible. Also, he gives the reason for this severe judgment in verse 14, quote, for the multitude of your iniquities, because your sins have increased, end quote. He repeats this reason for bringing judgment on his people in verse 15. And so this repetition emphasizes just how serious is their sin in the eyes of God. Any questions or comments on verses 1 through 15 of Jeremiah 30?
Reverend Miller, if I may go back, if you don't mind, to Jeremiah 29, verse 22. Could you explain the Lord make you like Zedekiah and Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire? That's verse 22.
Yes. Zedekiah, and this is a different Zedekiah from King Zedekiah, of course. This is a man named Zedekiah in captivity in Babylon, a prophet, a false prophet. And the other false prophet, Ahab, had been doing a lot of bad things. They had been, as you see in verse 23, they had been committing adultery with their neighbor's wives. and they have been telling false lies, speaking, saying that they were speaking in the name of the Lord, and they were not. So what happened to them is that they were thrown into the fiery furnace. You see that in verse 22. It says, the Lord make you like Zedekiah and Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire. So mm-hmm. This was a curse. It says in verse 22, and because of them a curse shall be taken. So, for example, two men will be cursing each other, and one was saying, I hope a lion comes and kills you, or I hope something happens to your child, or I curse you. So this was a curse. They would say, the Lord make you like Zedekiah and Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire. So their death was such an infamous thing that they made a curse out of it.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else with a question or comment on verses 11 through 15 of Jeremiah 30, chapter 30? If not, we'll go to verses 16 through 18. 16 through 18 of Jeremiah chapter 30. Therefore, all those who devour you shall be devoured, and all your adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. Those who plunder you shall become plunder, and all who prey upon you I will make a prey. For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord, because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, no one seeks her. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring back the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places. The city shall be built upon its own mound, and the palace shall remain according to its own plan. All right. Verse 16 shows just how much God is in control of events. He says, all the countries that have conquered Israel and Judah shall themselves be conquered. Notice how personal he becomes. He says, all who prey upon you, I will make a prey. Again, he says, I will make a prey. And in the next verse, verse 17, he says, I will restore health to you. So he is personally involved in the destiny of his people and personally involved in the lives of each member of the church. He's personally involved in our lives, brothers and sisters. You may be interested in the Hebrew meaning of the word Zion. It has two meanings. First, highest point. The word Hebrew, the word Zion means highest point. Now remember, Jerusalem was built at a high elevation. And the other meaning is desert or dryness, maybe because of the arid climate in Israel. So verse 18 speaks of Jerusalem being rebuilt after the people return from captivity. And it says, the city shall be built upon its own mound, which points back to the meaning of the word Zion, highest point, a mound, an elevated area. So notice how the word own is emphasized, own mound, an own plan. God says the city shall not be rebuilt in another location, and the king's palace shall be inhabited according to the way it was prior to the invasion and deportation. So we see how God is saying the city is, this is going to be the way the city is rebuilt. You see how much in control he is on the destiny of not only the people, but the way the city is going to be rebuilt. Any questions or comments on verses 16 through 18?
This is Sister Denise.
I'd just like to comment. When you look at these verses, even today, you know, we know that in terms of going up in Jerusalem, it's like you said, like a hill. You go up. The cities are up like a mountain. You're going up. But also the fact that even today, the people, God's people are coming back to Israel from all parts of the earth. And even though it may seem peaceful over there in Israel, basically God is going to avenge his people if the nations surrounded, you know, try to attack Israel. It's almost like this is Jeremiah, but God is speaking even today to Israel today and the nations around it. You know, because it's quiet doesn't mean that God is not acting upon the land and events are not taking place spiritually. That's all.
Amen. Thank you. Anyone else with a question or comment?
Hi, yeah, Sister Janet. Very much like what Sister Denise was going to say, yes, and not here for America, you know, what God's going to bring this back around to square one to when we had started off in 2020, but the Lord's going to restore us into his rightful stature to where we should be, because we're his people. We're all in the equation here, so we're all involved. So God's going to, you know, he's going to bring this back into the restoration that we need in order to take care of the souls that are out there at this present time for us.
All right. Thank you, Sister Janet. Any other questions or comments? If not, let's go to verses 19 through 24. Verse 24 is the last verse of chapter 30. Then out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of those who make merry. I will multiply them, and they shall not diminish. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as before, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all who oppress them. Their nobles shall be from among them, and their governor shall come from their midst. Then I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach me. For who is this who pledged his heart to approach me, says the Lord? You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goes forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord will not return until he has done it, and until he has performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will consider it. In verse 19, the Lord continues his very positive message concerning the restoration of Israel and Judah after their return from their deportation to Babylon. He says there will be the voice of thanksgiving for the return to their homeland. There will be merriment among the people. And God says he will multiply them, and they shall not be small in number. He goes on to say the land shall have children as it did before the invasion and the devastation. Also, the ruler governing them will be one of their own, not someone from Babylon appointed over them. Now, I was surprised to see that some scholars see a reference to Messiah Jesus in verses 21 and 22. Some say this is a prophecy of Jesus, quote, and he shall approach me, for who is this who pledged his heart to approach me, end quote. Others say it is referring to Zerubbabel, who was a Jewish man appointed as governor over the land after the return of the captives. Still others say that this verse is referring to the people in general returning to God after their long ordeal in Babylon. I am not sure. So who do you think God is referring to here? Messiah Jesus, when he would come in his first advent, Governor Zerubbabel, or the people of Israel as a whole, or maybe someone else? In verses 23 and 24, I get the message that God judges people and nations. He will carry out the intents of his heart. God says, in the latter days, you will consider it. Perhaps God is telling the people that after they have returned to their land and they consider everything that has happened to their country, they will see that what he has been telling them through his prophets has been true. Any questions or comments on verses 19 through 24 of Jeremiah chapter 30?
I believe this is Sister Janet, really quick, on verse 21, I believe also that when it says that he shall capitalize me, that they're actually talking about the Messiah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Anyone else with a question or comment? All right, let's go to the first nine verses of chapter 31. First nine verses. At that same time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. The people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. Israel, when I went to give him rest. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt, O virgin of Israel. You shall again be adorned with your tambourines, and shall go forth in the dances of those who rejoice. You shall yet plant vines on the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and eat them as ordinary food. For there shall be a day when the watchmen will cry on Mount Ephraim, arise, and let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. For thus says the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and the one who labors with child, together. A great throng shall return there. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications I will lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Now, before we look at these verses, notice that the first 29 chapters of the book of Jeremiah are largely prophecies of judgment to come upon Judah for its rebellion, with disobedience, and idolatry. Then come chapters 30 through 33, which contain very positive, favorable prophecies, also known as oracles, concerning Israel and Judah. the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. So these are oracles, these are prophecies declaring the restoration of the people from both kingdoms. Speaking through Jeremiah, God reminds the Jewish people of what he did in Egypt, delivering them from the sword and providing for them 40 years in the wilderness. In verse 3, Israel is personified as a man to whom God is speaking. God says to him, I have loved you with an everlasting love. God is saying to Israel in so many words, my love is not temporary, it's everlasting. To show it is continuous, he says in verse 4, I will build you and you shall be rebuilt. These would be welcome words to those in Babylon living as captives in a strange land among people whose language they didn't understand. By the way, the language they spoke was called Akkadian, A-K-K-A-D-I-A-N. Both Assyrians and Babylonians spoke Akkadian. But this very positive prophecy continues in verse 6, saying that people in the northern kingdom, represented by Mount Ephraim, will cry out, arise, let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. People living in the northern area of Israel, to a certain extent, did come up to Jerusalem, to the rebuilt temple, to worship. But the ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy in this chapter will occur during Messiah Jesus' reign, during the millennium. Now, in verse 7, we see the phrase, chief of the nations. This probably refers to the nation of Israel. Then God proclaims the great news in verse 8 that he will bring the captives home from the north country, Babylon and Assyria, and from other countries to which God has scattered them. Then we see that great reference in verse 9 to God as Father. Now, there are not many references to God as Father to Israel in the Old Testament, but this is one of them. It is so comforting to us Christians that we may look upon God Almighty as our Father. As our Father, he is our protector, provider, counselor, and comforter. He is also our Savior and Redeemer. Verse 9 ends with the word firstborn. The meaning here is preeminence. First in importance among nations, Israel will always have a special place in the heart of God. Ephraim, before the deportation, usually refers to the 10 northern tribes. But after the return, after the restoration, there will be one nation. So Ephraim refers to the entire nation. Any questions or comments on verses 1 through 9 of Jeremiah chapter 31? All right. If no questions or comments, let's go to verses 10 through 14. Verses 10 through 14. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of one stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, streaming to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and new wine and oil, for the young of the flock and the herd. Their souls shall be like a well-watered garden and they shall sorrow no more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together, for I will turn their mourning to joy, will comfort them, and make them rejoice rather than sorrow. I will satiate the soul of the priests with abundance, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord. In these verses are pictured a wonderful time of peace, prosperity, and joy. God will be a shepherd to Israel, even though he was the one who scattered them. Verse 11 speaks of them as having been ransomed from the captives. And in verses 12 and 13, we see singing and dancing. They are rejoicing over being back in their homeland. When the scripture says the soul of the priests will be satiated with abundance, I take it to mean spiritual abundance, joy and peace and revelation from God. All the fullness of the Holy Spirit that was available under the old covenant. But not just the priests. Verse 14 says, my people shall be satisfied with my goodness. So any questions or comments on verses 10 through 14 of Jeremiah 31? Any comments on 10 through 14? If not, let's go to verses 15 through the end of the chapter, verse 22. We have about 3 minutes, so we'll see how far we can go. Thus says the Lord in verse 15, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children, because they are no more. Thus says the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. For your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. You have chastised me, and I was chastised. Like an untrained bull, restore me, and I will return, for you are the Lord my God. Surely, after my turning, I repented. And after I was instructed, I struck myself on the thigh. I was ashamed, yes, even humiliated, because I bore the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For though I spoke against him, I earnestly remember him still. Therefore my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, says the Lord. Set up signposts, make landmarks. Set your heart toward the highway, the way in which you went. Turn back, O virgin of Israel. Turn back to these your cities. How long will you gad about, O you backsliding daughter? For the Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall encompass a man. Okay, we don't have time to go into all these verses through verse 22, but we will take it up on our next study. So thank you, everyone, for calling in, and we'll start at verse 15 and look at 15 through 22. Thank you. God bless you all.